Dan Marcus's Wax Museum is a podcast and a website featuring conversations I've had past and present with artists from rock and roll's formative years. If you like what you hear, if you're a fan of the genre, please share this with your friends, like us on Facebook and Instagram, and on the podcast, click subscribe to hear upcoming episodes of Dan Marcus's Wax Museum. Thanks. Here's the story of a rock and roller who had a close brush with death and lived to tell the story. The man, Rob Grill of the Grassroots, with hits like Temptation Eyes, Midnight Confessions, Where Were You When I Needed You, Let's Live For Today, a string of hits through the 60s and 70s especially, and Rob sang lead on virtually all of them. I met up with him in the 1980s. We sat down for a long talk, and I was surprised when he shared the story of Flight 191. A plane that crashed on takeoff from Chicago O'Hare in the summer of 1979. Rob was supposed to be on that plane. But let's back the story up here a little bit. Rob, after the Grassroots had kind of disintegrated in the mid-1970s, became a manager. By his own admission, he made a lot of money, but he wasn't happy. He wanted to be performing, he wanted to be making records, and he wanted to be out on tour. And he was lamenting that fact to his friend and fellow bass player, John McVie of Fleetwood Mac. John said, "Well, let's get you a record deal and get you back out on the road." Rob Grill said, "Can't get a record deal without a record. I need to make a demo." And John McVie offered to be on the demo and get Mick Fleetwood and Lindsey Buckingham, who were both members of Fleetwood Mac and in the middle of recording the Tusk album. They went into his studio and they cut a demo. So now Rob's got a demo with members of Fleetwood Mac who were as hot could get in the late 1970s. And he starts shopping around for a record deal based on that demo. Rob picks up the story from there.
"Well, Paul, you know, get y'all so John, if you're listening, I do a terrible imitation of you. But in essence, you know, hey, we got to get you out of that office and back on the road." And I said, "Well, I can't. How am I going to do that, man? I don't have a record deal." He says, "We'll get you a record deal." I said, "Well, how are you going to do that?" He says, "We'll go in the studio and cut a record for you. And you can go get a record deal and go back on the road." And I said, "Well, who's going to play on it?" He goes, "I'll play bass." And I said, "Oh, okay, you can play, you know, instead of me." And he says, "Who else is going to play?" He says, "Well, I'll get Mick to play drums, and we'll get Lindsey Buckingham to play guitar, and Mick Fleetwood, you know, drums, and then on and on." So they're right in the middle of cutting Tusk, and on a Sunday afternoon, we went in with a song, Rock Sugar, that my friend Dennis Provisor, who has been the Grassroots with me, had been for a lot of years, wrote for me, and we cut Rock Sugar. And when we got through, they handed me the tape, 24 tracks, and here, go get a deal. And about 5 weeks later, I signed a Mercury Phonogram for a very big deal, went and cut an album for them. And I didn't tour because I didn't have a band, you know. I didn't have a touring band. We did Don Kirshner's rock concert a couple of times. The Rock Sugar was a hit in Cleveland, and it was a hit in, seriously, Cleveland's a good rock and roll town. Kid Leo is John Gorman, a bunch of good guys there. Anyway, when that didn't pan out, far as sales and so forth, and getting a lot of notoriety, that deal faded away, and now I cut that record in March of 79, signed the deal in April of 79. Here's a little footnote to that signing of the record deal. I was living in Los Angeles with my girlfriend, in sin, of course. That's how we do it in Los Angeles, folks. Well, we weren't married, is what I mean. Anyway, we flew back to Chicago, where Mercury had their offices. And we flew back on a Wednesday with John McVie, my girlfriend, and flew with Mac's attorney. Signed the deal on a Thursday. John flew back Thursday on flight 191, which is the DC-10 leaving out of Chicago. And I was coming back on the DC-10 and went flight 191 American Airlines on Friday, leaves at 2:50. Well, I went up to, we had dinner with the president of the label. It's the Thursday night to celebrate, you know, the signing. Friday, I had to go back up to Mercury to pick up some papers and stuff for my attorneys in L.A. And I left there and I said goodbye, and their limo driver was supposed to pick me up and take me to the airport to catch 191. Got back to the hotel and my girlfriend, by the way, they purchased round-trip tickets first class for us. She'd never been first class on a 747 where they have that spiral staircase going up to the lounge. So she's make a long story short, she's arguing, fighting, she wants to go on the 747. I'm going, no, it gets in too late, and on and on and on. Finally, she got me to change my mind. And while we were waiting, it left at 5:45 and flight 191 left at 2:50. 3 o'clock, while we're in the hotel bar waiting for the limo driver to pick us up, this guy turns on a television in the bar, and there was the remains of 191, because it, you know, dropped its engine while it was taking off, and everybody was dead. And that was my flight. I still have the tickets.
Rob Grill lived and performed and toured for 32 years after that incident, before he died of complications of a stroke in July of 2011. One of the really good guys of rock and roll, Rob Grill. Rest in peace.